The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
My shoulder, oh, never mind. I'm not gonna talk.
No, I want to hear this. I want to hear about the shoulder.
Do you?
What's wrong with your shoulder?
It's footy prime intro.
So you know how much I moan about high-performing environments for women, right? And how all of the studies that we're basing our performance on for professional women athletes are based on men, because that's what all the studies have been kind of historically done on, right? So we need to catch up in that regard. But also women, perimenopausal women, menopausal women, like all of a sudden my shoulder, I just can't do anything with it. So like my capsule is so tight, I think it's frozen shoulder. And they're just like, well, you know, you're around that age, you're perimenopausal, so you just kind of have to deal with it. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, because
there must be something.
People are like, oh, hormones for women. Like, we don't want to study that. Oh, well, it's only half your population. But nobody
gets probably it's probably the estrogen, Dubs. I have no idea. Just, I know that's a hormone.
Yeah.
But it's valid, though.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So, but why would a joint be affected?
I don't know.
I mean, there is studies though on this. My God,
there are some, but not a lot.
Not on specific frozen shoulder studies, right?
Mm-hmm.
My shoulders hurt all the time. Am I in perimenopause?
Maybe.
There's a good chance.
What it is, it's you. Yeah.
Anyway.
We know when Wonga and I launch our new men's health podcast in the new year, we're going to talk about men's health and is there a perimenopause?
Oh, great. Yeah, because the world needs more podcasts about men's health.
Well, is there one? I don't know.
There's probably a fuck ton.
Well, not the way we do it, though.
Okay.
Wow, so supportive of us, eh? Hey, Wonga?
Sorry.
Yeah. Jeez.
I think there'd be more podcasts about women than men.
I agree. I bet there is.
Because men would talk about beer and wings, and we don't really look after ourselves the way that we should, do we?
Yeah, 100%. Women do.
Our first listener, our first subscriber, Jimmy Brennan.
Yeah. Really. We're going to be real talk men's health at the ages we are.
Yeah.
But, let's not get into a fight about who has the most podcasts, men or women. Okay.
I'm glad that my perimenopausal frozen shoulder turned into a podcast about men's health. So happy about that.
It's a great segue, though, into goalkeeping. I don't know what the segue is, but shoulders, pretty handy. And you got a frozen shoulder, you're not a very good goalkeeper, presumably. Dane Sinclair is a very good goalkeeper. And as our boy Tom Bogut's reporting on The Athletic, he is on the verge of signing with Inter Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a free agent, of course, from Minnesota United. There was talk about him re-signing there. Those discussions went nowhere, apparently, well, clearly. And there was talk about him maybe going to Europe this winter. We've discussed it before, the best move for him, with it being a World Cup year. But Inter Miami seems to be the destination, Jimmy. Jumping on the old Messi train, it's not the worst thing for a career, is it?
No, I think it's good for his career. I think it would give him a bigger profile as well, playing for Inter Miami, than it is playing for Minnesota. So for him, if Inter Miami comes calling, you can get a deal done, cross the line, then I would jump all over it. Absolutely, I would. Look, they just won the Champions MLS Cup. They got world-class players, the best player probably, arguably in the world. Who doesn't want to be associated with that club and him? And then obviously David Beckham. And I think it just gives you a different profile.
That's it, right, Dubs? It's a profile for me. I mean, I'm sure you can get more money playing in Europe. Mm-hmm. Even as a backup, Craig was talking to us on the dark web. Craig can't make it today, but he was talking about how a backup in the Prem, for example, can make, you know, millions of dollars.
$8 million is what Craig threw out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he can make more money overseas, but jumping on brand Messi and brand into Miami, it kind of goes beyond the football pitch almost, which I'm not sure is necessarily a good thing for the purists, but that's the reality, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And this is a team that could outscore their mistakes, whether it was at the back or poor goalkeeping, right? Like you saw at the end, it was Ustari who'd been benched for Rios Novo, right? So you bring in an upgrade. It's not arguably an upgrade. It's definitely an upgrade in the goalkeeper of the year, right? He was nominated for the goalkeeper of the year. He won it. Yeah. In Dane St. Clair. So he had an outstanding club year. For country, I think it could be argued that it was a little bit more uneven. I think a lot of fans, pundits alike, wanted him to do more for Canada. But he came up, and when we were talking about player of the year, like, I think that you have other players who did better for Canada that I think will get the nod when the player's announced. But I mean, there's a case to be made for Dane St. Clair for player of the year for Canada, just based purely on doing a serviceable job for Canada, but an outstanding one for Minnesota United. Mm-hmm. So they're getting an upgrade in Dane St. Clair, top goalkeeper in MLS. And I even think, yes, it's about the profile that he's going to get. It's raised instantly by going to Messi's Inter Miami. And the cast and crew that are assembled there as your supporting cast who just want to take a pay cut just to play with the GOAT, just to play with Messi. I don't know if Dane is going to be in the same boat, but I think it just makes sense. I think you go to a top team in MLS, even if it's not Inter Miami, I think that's the play for a guy who's still in the fight to be Canada's number one goalkeeper in a home World Cup. Like, that's what for me is on his mind, at the top of his mind or his agent's mind, as they're considering a move. It's not over the line yet. As you mentioned, it's Tom Bogart who's reporting, and by all indications, he will end up there. But I think it's smart. Like, I think you've got like a guy like Matt Turner, who might be the cautionary tale for going over to Europe and the allure of it, of whether it's the paycheck or it's the increased profile as a backup playing for a top club. He initially went over to Arsenal, did he not?
Yeah.
Before he made the rounds and ended up at Nottingham for a bit, and then has kind of been just trying to find some minutes. But I think that for Dane St. Clair staying here, staying in North America, staying in a league where he's dominated, that makes sense for a Dane St. Clair who wants the gloves for Canada come World Cup.
He won't be a DP. I imagine they got quite a few DP spots snapped up there. Suarez's new deal, is that a DP? Or is it under Tam Gam Wham Bam? Yeah, I don't think it's DP because there were stories yesterday making the rounds about Robert Lewandowski
heading
to Inter Miami. Which, I mean,
was Inter Miami Sharms or had he met with Berhalter? I had read that he met with Berhalter in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, listen, Lewandowski to MLS makes a lot of sense. He really kind of fits the profile of the aging superstar who can still do a job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, whether MLS want to admit it or not, and it has changed somewhat, I think the whole DP model, they are going younger. It is still a bit of a retirement playground for the best of the world, an option for them. We're seeing that, obviously, with Messi and his boys. And that's not a criticism of MLS. I understand the direction they're going in. But yeah, from a footballing standpoint, Jimmy, you're guaranteeing yourself playoffs and long playoff runs in a club that's going to support you all the time. You know, it must be a good club to play for. Brand Dano, this is your fault. Brand Dane St. Clair.
We were just talking about typos and autocorrect. Yeah, we were trying to write Dane.
Tony got my head there. But yeah, Brand Dane St. Clair will really benefit here, right? Wong, I mean, you love brand conversations.
Oh, I love it. Look, for this cat to go down to Miami, he's going to be, like, compared to Minnesota? No. What are we talking about?
Hey, Wonga. Yeah. Sorry, can you jump out and jump back in?
Why, is it all broken up?
You're like a massive delay.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like this is much too close.
So that's my head.
This is much too close.
Yeah.
I feel like the way that Wonga is feeling, so he's battling a bit of a cold, dear viewer and listener. And so his audio and video seemed very appropriate. It was reflective of how he's feeling on the day.
Yeah, he was off a little bit. I think it's fair to say there.
Yeah.
And now he's his internet. Jesus Christ.
Well, we're off to a rip-roaring start.
There we are. That's better. You look better now. Now talk to us.
Hello?
Yes.
All right.
Let's work on Brand Dan Wong.
Oh, God. It's too late for that. No, but listen, the opportunity to go play with the GOAT, to be the, you know, a goalkeeper icon and have, he's still super young, right? Like, as far as keepers go, could, if he, and the only thing I'm surprised by, and I shouldn't say surprised, but I'm always, and someone wrote about it in our dark web.
He's 28, Wonger.
Yeah, so
I thought it was 26, 28.
Craig always talks about it being a bit later, you know, in goalkeepers' careers that they come to their like fruition as the best they've they can become.
They hit their prime.
Yeah,
later than what players do.
Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So look, this guy could have five years with Miami, and I just wonder, how does Miami keep affording all these players? Do they have different rules in Miami? Is there different rules in Florida or something? I'm trying to figure it out.
They got in trouble before, right? Mm-hmm. And they got a major slap on the wrist. They're not, I don't think they're going to break any rules anymore. They're very creative. And those that aren't fans of Inter Miami hate them for that reason. But they're, I mean, Jimmy, they're not that stupid to break rules. They're not breaking rules. They're finding loopholes. And maybe Luis Suarez has a really, really lucrative post-playing career as part of Messi / Beckham world in some capacity promised to him. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But that's kind of how these things generally work, right?
Yeah, look, I think every organization, especially when you have a league with so many rules, you're always trying to find the gray areas and push the limits, find the little loopholes where you can maneuver and get deals done that you want to get done. So yeah, listen, I mean, they're not stupid down there. They're clever. They know exactly what they're doing. They've got good people behind the scenes wheeling and dealing and again, finding those little gray areas and pushing the limits to see what they can do. It's obviously worked for them with the amount of players that they brought in, world-class players. And it's paid off by them winning an MLS Cup. And it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do for next season, because obviously they're going to bring some fresh faces in, new players. They're going to have to rebuild that squad. I mean, with Alba, Busquets is leaving. There'd be a couple more. But I'm sure they'll be doing their homework and getting the right pieces in. And, you know, for a start, bringing in Dane, I think it's a good option for them, because they do need a quality goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have one designated player spot to fill heading into next season. So it says a player who counts, this is from Sports Illustrated, a player who counts $743,750 against the cap as long as they stick to their current roster model of three DPs and three U22 initiative players. So they look, it's clear they have ambition, right? They have deep pockets. They want to go out and grab players. They have Messi, who, again, as I mentioned, like, there are players worldwide who just want to play with him. So they have that they can leverage. But they're also willing to spend, and then they can get creative. We don't know what they're starting with in terms of their general allocation money. That would be helpful to know, because it's a league that's very transparent in terms of how teams are spending under that salary cap. But they've also gotten creative with the way that they're utilizing the TAM players, right? So,
well, I think they're great for the league. And listen, be creative. Like, you saw Montreal this past week, right? They've sold, who was it, Dubs? They've sold for, I think, $2 million in allocation money.
Dante Sealy.
Yes, right. $2 million right there in allocation money. You can do a lot with your allocations, a lot in this league. It's you have to be clever about it. I mean, I don't understand it, but I know more now than I did 6 months ago about it, put it that way. Mm-hmm. And paying down salaries to get them beneath the DP level. So people hate Inter Miami. I think they're great. They're so good for this league. They've got so many eyeballs. I wonder also for these younger players, and Dane's not young per se, but for a goalkeeper, he's got many years left. Do they look at the season switch in a couple of years' time and thinking, man, we're going to be on par with Europe pretty soon here. I don't need to go to Europe right now necessarily, because in a couple of years' time, I'm going to be in that calendar anyway. I'm going to be part of that football world. Do you think that's part of it, Jimmy? The attraction?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it what the schedule is. No, not at all. But I think, look, I mean,
good theory, Charms.
I got thrown out there. Fair enough.
I mean, a lot of players want to go to Europe because you want to test yourself. You want to go play in the biggest leagues in world football. But I think for Dane right now, you know, weighing it up, thinking, do I want to go to Europe, or is it, if am I better going to Inter Miami, maybe having a year or two here, win an MLS Cup, have a good showing, and I've probably got a better chance going to a bigger club while being in MLS with one of the top clubs in Major League Soccer. Because as we all know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Inter Miami because of Messi playing and the players that they have, right? And everybody wants to be associated with success. So for me, I think it's a great opportunity for Dane. And again, it's going to give him a bigger profile than what he would have if he stayed in Minnesota. And that's nothing against Minnesota, but it's not like one of the massive clubs. It's not an LAFC. It's not in New York. It's not an Inter Miami. Mm-hmm. And as a player, you know, to increase your profile, I think you've got to try to get to one of the top clubs in Major League Soccer.
And listen, Craig's not here, so we can rip into goalkeepers, right? You can always replace a goalkeeper. So maybe. He's thinking a year down the road, right?
Good
year at Miami. He goes to the World Cup, gets some eyeballs in there, then gets a move to Europe. Maybe it's a year plan for Dane St. Clair.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before, right, Jimmy? Like in a year where you're going, it's not only the allure, the hype around, the buzz around hosting or co-hosting a World Cup. And like as a player, you never got to live that, but it must be a unique feeling having the flexibility. You're planning your next move, knowing that you're going to be playing at home as part of a World Cup. So like that places a increased importance on this move, right? Like, can you imagine, like if you're in Dane's situation, you're not a goalkeeper, but you're a player, you're looking to play somewhere, and the amount of minutes that you get are going to be critical in terms of dictating how many minutes you get with your national team. So like it's a big move, right? You must be feeling the pressure about it as well. And then if Inter Miami come calling, like you're jumping at the chance to do that, right?
100%. I mean, look, for me, I think as a player, if I had Miami coming in for me, I would jump at that in 2 seconds. I'd be thinking, I'm going down to Miami, beautiful weather all year round. I'm going to feel great every morning waking up in the sunshine.
That's and like even, Minnesota to Miami.
Right? And then when a schedule does change, right? You're playing in the winter in Miami when the weather's beautiful. So they got a new stadium coming. I just think it's a great move for him. I think everything about it. He'll be waking up in the morning with a smile on his face heading towards training ground. That's for sure every morning.
You know what? In a time when there's so much shit going on around the world, these little things I'm so happy about. Mm. Be Dane St. Clair right now. Now, I don't know what's happening, you know, in his private life. I have no idea. But he's a Pickering boy, comes from a good family. He's very down to earth, but he's confident. But think about Dane St. Clair right now. I'm about to sign a deal with Inter Miami. I'm moving, like Jimmy said there. The weather to me is freaking everything. That would make just put a smile on my face if I'm living somewhere hot. I would love that, to wake up and know that that's my life now. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to bump into Lionel Messi in the locker room, mm-hmm. my new teammate, and Luis Suarez. And oh, there's Bex walking down the hallway with a coffee. Jesus.
Defending champions.
What a great time to be Dane St. Clair. And you got a World Cup on the horizon. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, defending champion. Must be nice, hey?
I'm just so happy for him.
Remember, though, in your appreciation or like waxing poetic about the weather, he's 28, not 58. He's not going in for the early bird specials in Miami.
Dubs, he's
perimenopausal, actually.
he's got a frozen sore shoulder. That's right.
He can go shirtless every day.
Exactly.
I can't. That's 58.
Finishing training, put your thong 51. On and slides straight to South Beach.
Oh,
oiled up.
I'm really delighted for him. I don't know. I'm so happy this morning now because of Dane St. Clair. I hope it happens. Mm-hmm. Doesn't end up signing back with Minnesota. He's got a pretty sweet kick there as well. Very good team. Sorry, Minnesota. I'm not repeating it, but come on. Miami or Minnesota right now, weather-wise? Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah, it just makes sense. But do you think that he would have had a conversation with Jesse Marsh? 100%, right?
100%, yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking like it's a done deal, but like, if this goes through, he's staying in MLS.
Tom Bogut's never wrong. He's never wrong.
Not usually.
No, no. I do feel a little bit sorry for Rocco Rios Novo, who comes in late in the season, wins a cup, has some big moments too. I guess is he still with the club? Or I mean, I haven't listened to this. Assuming he's still with the club, is it going to be a fight for number one? That's how they'll frame it, right? I'm sure. But we know if Dane Sinclair, the goalkeeper of the year, is going there, he's not going there to be a backup.
Yeah.
But yeah, so good for you, Dane. I'm very happy for you. You've made my day if this happens. Next time we interview you, I want to get all the details. All right, Dubsy, you have a question to ask. I'm going to do this over the Christmas period. We've got some podcasts lined up, a bunch of things. They might be shorter podcasts, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand that. But Dubs had a good idea, just posing like one question. Now, obviously, Dane happened, so we jumped the gun a little bit. But one question we can dissect for 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And Dubsy, what do you have?
Yeah, I've got one here. So in talking about Dane Sinclair and his move and how what's front of mind is probably the men's national team, even though he's coming off his best club year as a goalkeeper in MLS, talking about our men's national team, but not specifically about the players, the team, the collective, who played out at 2025, where they were 7-2-5. Two of those draws turned into penalty shootout losses. So I think a bit of an uneven year, but I think it finished on a high. So Jimmy, I will pose to you, but this is a question that everybody is going to weigh in on. If you had to give Jesse Marsh, as the manager, a grade for his coaching over the course of 2025, his second year at the helm, what would that grade be?
It's a good question.
It's a very good question.
I would say a B+. I would have given him an A because I like the identity that the team has, but I just think sometimes his antics on the sideline need to be controlled a little bit because it has gotten him in trouble numerous times. But for the squad, the identity that we have, you know, I look at certain games, even Romania, and where I was just, I was in awe. I was like, I've never seen national team play like this. So I think he's doing a good job. He's got a good philosophy, good brand of football. Has he made mistakes? Of course. Who doesn't make mistakes and which manager doesn't? But I think there is a lot more positives than there is negatives at the moment. So I'll give him a B+.
Okay. I like that. And just piggybacking off something you said, you mentioned Romania. So if you're taking a snapshot of this year of the coaching, but also the on-pitch performance, do you think those two matches in that window versus the win, the emphatic one versus Romania, 3-0, and then the 1-0 win versus Wales, do you think that was Canada and Jesse Marsh at their best?
I think so, because it was two different styles of football that we were playing. One, the game was a little bit more open. Our press was very good against Romania. And then it showed against Wales that we can roll up sleeves and battle and grind a result out, which we did.
I like that. Shambi, you've been covering this team, not only on this podcast, but in your columns for Sportsnet and your hits on Sunday nights where you can find James Charman.
What do you think?
I don't know. It's me. I'm putting emphasis. Yeah. I'm not saying no. I'm just being
kind of. I think that's subconscious there.
Saying Freudian there.
Negative.
Yeah. Saying like, you're shit. You're
Sportsnet,
terrible.
Sportsnet, James Charman. Mispronouncing
How
your
dare
name.
You be somewhere else other than this podcast?
So it's 14 games, right? I think this year, right? 7 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 draws, 3 losses. I'm not going B+. I'm giving him a B. And I like what I see him. I think he's dealt so well with the injuries. And like Jimmy mentioned there, those games in Europe that kind of defined the season with injuries. That wasn't the full strength Canada. And he brought players in, younger players. He's blooded a number of young players. Luc de Fougerolle stands out, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The reinvention of Richie Larrea on the left hand side has just been incredible. And let's give Jesse Marsh some credit for that as well. He's done a lot for development. He's been a really good year, I think, for Canada. Forced because of the injuries. But for me, he loses points simply because I really thought this was the year that they get a trophy once again. And the Nations League, you lose to Guatemala. I know you got the red card to Schaff. I know that affected it all, but you still lose to Guatemala in the quarterfinals. This team shouldn't be doing that. And then the that was the Gold Cup. No, wait, that was Gold Cup, sorry, wasn't it? Gold Cup.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Nations League, they lost to Mexico, fair enough, but they beat the States the States.
2-1, right? Yeah.
2-1. That's actually, didn't Tanny and John David scored in that match, right? I think. I think so. That was, you still came up short. And entering this year was all about, is this the year they finally get another trophy? They're good enough. And they didn't. That's the only reason why I think I don't give him a higher grade. But I think overall it's been a good year, and it is an exciting 2026, and he's done a very good job, I think, on the sidelines, and just working the brand of Canada Soccer as well. I mean, this guy's everywhere. On our show, numerous times. He's a fantastic interview. John Herbin was a great interview as well. Been fortunate the last couple of coaches, guys that are very comfortable in front of the camera. So I think he's doing a stellar job.
Sorry, Charms. I would actually say he's better than John Herdman because he's a little more transparent. And I only say that not because, you know, even for him to come on our show and admit he effed up the Strikers, right?
Like the way that he managed them. Yes,
yeah, he's a mea culpa guy. And I found John, everyone's got different styles. I just found him a little more protective and a little more, you know, in that space where he's not as comfortable as Jesse sharing as much. And I, you know, so that's all. Not taking, keep going, Sharps. I was just thinking.
No. I think I've probably done it. I mean, listen, John, we saw John through a World Cup qualifying campaign and a World Cup. We haven't seen Jesse under that pressure yet.
Right.
Copa America was something that's incredible, obviously. But let's see how Jesse is at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. I don't expect to see much difference, quite honestly. But I will give John a slight bit of respect there because that's a different level of stress.
Okay, so what was the grade? It was B.
Oh, a B, flat.
So
B.
Jimmy came in with a B plus. Charms with a B.
And part of that was too because we got to keep in mind his performances in the games that he played. There was no Davies at times. There was no Bambito. There was no Alistair Johnson. There was no Miller. So there was a lot of players that were missing.
Yep,
an awful lot, and he's still grinding out results.
100%. That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, huge year for Tejan, though, right? Like, I think Tejan coming back and instantly reclaiming the form, like the scintillating form that he'd been in, but adding another layer, and then the club kind of set up coming together. And then I think you had a lot of players really step up on the national team stage that really helped. Kone, right? We talked about last time the my even Steven Seinfeld reference that fell flat, right? Where Jonathan David, I think, almost played every minute for our men's national team. But I think it can be fair to say, even though he wins CONCACAF Player of the Year for, I think, previous performances, had a disappointing year. But you had a player like Kone step up in a massive way. It was in a critical way, not only to his like continuation with the men's national team and to stay relevant, but in order to make his mark and play well for Sassuolo and find that move. But you also had players like Luc de Foucherolle, players like Nico Seguir, right?
Yeah, good point.
Like what a year he had to springboard himself into your contention potentially for that starting 11 when they kick off the World Cup.
I think Kone's the one though, Dubs, that stands out. Given what he went through at Marseille and where he was at, and Jesse on our show said, listen, I've kind of taken Ismail under my wing here in Italy. We meet for dinner. He, I'm sure, played a huge part in kind of talking him down from the ledge. And now we have a player who is, I said it last year, he's going to be one of Canada's most important players. He could be Canada's, I'm not going to say best player, there's not too much pressure on him, but he's extremely important. And the way he's playing right now in Italy, there's a lot of eyeballs on him. And I think Jesse Marsh can say that he handled that situation pretty well because it seems this guy needed a mentor type figure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think as well, you got to give him credit as well, Jesse Marsh, for the back line, because for years under Herdman, everybody was talking about we need defenders. You know, what are we going to do with this back line? And then for him to find the partnership of Bambito and Cornelius and shore up that back line, and then find Luc de Foucherolle, who stepped in and surprised an awful lot of people of just how good he was as well.
Yeah. So
I think everybody's a lot more comfortable in that center back position now as well.
Well, he convinced Alfie Jones to say, yeah.
And you got Alfie Jones as well, right?
Good salesman is Jesse Marsh.
Yeah.
So maybe, I put a lot of weight on trophies. Maybe I'm being a little bit unfair. But listen,
no, it's too late. Don't change yourself.
No. I'm not. Okay. Well, name of the game is winning, right? And getting trophies. Yeah. That's the name of the game. All the other stuff's peripheral. So yeah, I'm sticking with my B. Mm-hmm. What about you, Wonga?
Yeah.
I am.
Sorry, Dubs. This is your segment. Sorry. I'm taking over.
No, I split it in two, and that brand, Canada Soccer Men's, has really risen. And I know it's a World Cup season coming up, but I'm going to give him an A-minus because I think B on pitch, A-plus across for his transparency, his willingness to take the blame when he does mess up, his, and I think that goes a long way. And he's, you know, we talk about Canada Red and, you know, the campaign Canada Rising with Canada Soccer, Samantha Rogers was on. And it really shows me that this entire Canada Soccer Federation is moving in the right direction. And I think hiring Jesse was a brilliant move. The fact that he was American, I think it actually is helping us. It allows, it gives him a level of, hey, I'm not the normal coach you'd expect. And I think, you know, on field, I'd say with you, Sharms, he's a B, but on pitch, but off pitch, he's been an A+. Meeting people across, the guy's everywhere. And he's tireless, seems tireless.
Yeah, you know, getting into markets and communities, right?
Yeah, heading out, like all that stuff. Like, you know, he's basically has not made a wrong move yet. He's Thomas Mueller out in Vancouver, right? Like, yeah, right. He showing up, but hey, training camp in Halifax, training camp in like
Montreal,
giving people an opportunity to actually touch the players. Like, that's a lot. Hey, let's go in somewhere different in Canada. He could say, let's just keep it in Toronto. I don't want people traveling that much, but he chooses locations that give access to Canadian soccer fans. And I think that's huge. And you know what I'm like with marketing. So there you go. A-.
So for brand Jesse Marsh, A+.
Yes.
And then overall A-.
Yes.
Okay. I like it.
What
I
mean,
I think it was a bit of a cop out because you gave two grades, but all along.
No. Because I'm at a B+. What was I at? I'm at an A-.
Okay.
A+ though. Yeah. I'm just leveling it out.
Okay. I like it. I'm going to go same as Jimmy. I'm going to go B+. So dear listener and viewer, I agree with Jimmy Brennan. So if anybody is a broadcast fan, it's usually, I agree with Cigna, but we can make the t-shirts now. I agree with Jimmy.
Oh my God.
It doesn't. And I was, I almost.
The cats and jabber kids are agreeing, Charms. What's going on?
No, seriously.
After listening to everybody, I don't think I've changed what my grade was. I didn't really come in with a number or with something that was predetermined, but I was just thinking about this outfit, all of the injuries, the big names that he was missing. Sophomore year, you risked coming into a year where you slumped a little bit. And I think he did falter in what Jimmy referenced with maybe overly swashbuckling, right? Like, he's talking about changing the mentality, the mindset of this team to make them less humble and more self-assured, more aggressive. And I think he has done that, right? Like, he's changed. There's a swagger about this team, but it's under control. And at times, I think he went too big on the periphery to try to draw that out of the players. But I think he's also learned over the course of this year, and they're going into a World Cup year where that's exactly right. He's got the mentality and the mindset, Goldilocks. Like, it was too hot at the beginning of the year, right? And then there was like the stuff in the Gold Cup where he was being investigated, and then there was the red card in Nations League. And so I think he had to work through some stuff as well. But I think the off the pitch, the way that he deals with the media, I think in-house, the way that he is continually having conversations and communicating with his players, I think there are some players who have never known that as a professional. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Jimmy, you've spoken to this. In the women's game, it was entirely different depending who we had as a coach, what type of communicator that would be. Like, I had a coach sometimes where if I was playing poorly or I wasn't preferred, I wasn't being selected, I wouldn't even be given eye contact in the hallways or in the meal room. And that's fucking shitty. But I think that's, by and large, not the standard necessarily, but I think that's normalized in club football, which is crap, right? I think you have a new generation now that needs to be coddled a wee bit. But I think, again, he's found that middle ground where it's the constant communication, but he's drawing the best out of his players. Like, as you referenced, Sharms, with Kone, this is a guy who needs to be shepherded along and needs to be taught what it is to be a professional. And he seems to have found his sweet spot. And Jesse March, I think, in his sophomore year, has also found his sweet spot in how he's managing his players. And then this team, going back to the performance, I drew out, or I called out, some individuals who were highlights for me. But defensively, what this team was able to do, not only in the back line and in selecting the Bombito and Cornelius, but in Luke DeFou's role, using Waterman when it was required, pulling in like a Kamal Miller, even though he might not make the roster, but you're creating a depth that well exceeds 30 players. So you're increasing your player pool, you're increasing the quality that's available to you, you're giving a nod to some players who are maybe performing at the CPL level or the MLS level to say, your level's almost there, keep at it. So he's projecting forward. Whether he's going to be there or not, he's improving the landscape for Canadian football in this country, which is really, really exciting. So I think I've probably blown some smoke here, and B plus seems, after I've said all that, like it's not a high enough grade. But I think that there was disappointment because they didn't win the trophy, as you pointed out, Sharms, and where this team, I think, failed to get it over the line where it looked like they had all the pieces to do it. So that's something that they have to rectify going into a really important year. But I think overall, an impressive year for a team who did quite well to not concede, right? You look at the way that they finished the year. Lots of clean sheets, whether it was Max Crepeau in net or whether it was Dane Sinclair, but it was collectively, defensively in front of those guys, how well they were performing, not just the back line, but the whole team, starting from the front, whether it was Jonathan David or Tanny Alawashe, and then a guy like Promise David. Like, what a year he had for club and for country, but I think has to still do some convincing in the way he's leading the line in the press to convince Jesse March that he deserves some minutes and some starts.
I think Promise is the new project, isn't he, for Jesse yeah. Marsh. If Kone was the project to start the year, now it's Promise. Mm-hmm. And can he fulfill all that promise, right? But is it, see, here's the football, the jaded football person in me. Is it going too well for Jesse Marsh? I mean, I'm kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Is it going to be some big rumor about some massive offer coming in from south of the border I'm just, because usually I can't enjoy nice, shiny things because they get pissed all over eventually in this sport of ours. Mm-hmm. Or should we just enjoy this right now?
Enjoy it.
We're entering 2000. Enjoy it? Yeah, enjoy okay. It. I'm going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. As we enter a World Cup year and Canada's been playing really well. They got a good coach, doing the right things, young players. It's all positive. Okay.
We have to enjoy it, Charms. We've never been in this place before.
We were pretty pumped before 2022.
Yeah, but it's about the World Cup coming to Canada and North America. There's so much opportunity for growth. So I think it's, let's enjoy the ride. What's going to happen? I mean, do we think we're going to win? No, but let's set our sights at maybe a quarterfinal. That would be something that I'd say, hey, we did a great job and we got there.
Would that be the galvanizing moment?
I'd say round 16.
I don't know about galvanizing, but it'd be fun to win.
This team needs one though, right?
Yeah.
Like in a year they didn't win a trophy, you're going into World Cup here. What's going to be enough to be like that moment that they can capitalize on all of that momentum?
This is a conversation for another pod, expectations for the World Cup. We've got 6 months to do this. But I know Jesse says, get out of the group.
Yeah.
Get out of the group.
Win a game.
I think that would be enough.
Win a game for starters, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But get out of the group and let's see who they're playing, first of all. And then the next, round of 32, right? This is a different World Cup. Mm-hmm. Do you win the group? Do you finish second in the group? Do you become a third place team and qualify? It depends who you're playing, right? So, we're going to overanalyze expectations. If they win the group, then they should look beyond, I think, even the round of 32, because they should have a pretty comfortable opponent. But they finish third and squeak in with 4 points. They're going to get a pretty big team, right? And then round of 16, you're going to be playing a top team.
Yep.
And so, find out more on Sportsnet with James Charman.
On Sportsnet with James Charman.
Jimmy and I have a hot date this Sunday.
Oh, yes.
And we do.
Yes, we do.
German Bundesliga, Bayern Munich, Heidenheim. One soccer. I've got a
One soccer with James Charman.
Another shaky head. Is that what it is?
Is that going to be your first time hosting on TV, Sharms?
Not my first time.
No, you've done it before? No,
I've done it a couple of times. Oh. It's been a while. Venice.
But can we talk about... Sharms and Dubs, can we talk about why one of our videos had to be taken down and our podcast be taken down?
We talked about that.
We did? I was sick. Yeah.
So as mentioned, we had to take down our discussion.
Oh, you weren't there. Wonger wasn't there yesterday.
That's right. They obviously didn't listen to the podcast either.
Yeah.
Very quickly. So we had to take down our podcast / our YouTube segment talking about our picks for the finalists for Player of the Year because we didn't read the email. And Canada Soccer was very cool about it.
Three of us didn't read the email.
Six
that got
of us
it.
Actually.
No, but I even
sent
it.
I even sent it on the dark web. I was like, hey, guys, look at this.
Yeah. So anyway, they are dropping the finalists today. As soon as they drop it, we will then drop that conversation about who our top threes were. It's a good conversation. And then tomorrow, they'll announce the winners. And on tomorrow's show, we'll hold off tomorrow. We'll talk offline about this. But we should touch it, have a show tomorrow at some point talking about Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sound good? Maybe a question from Dubs as well. I like these questions. That was good.
Yeah. Well, I thought of a couple more throughout our discussion.
I'm not surprised, but you have.
I'll save them for
any questions the listener or viewer want to submit as well. Just
one
drop
big
a line
question.
On socials or on the YouTube and a probing question for us to discuss. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's it. That was a fun show. I enjoyed that. Congratulations, Dane St. Clair. If it happens, I hope it does. Made my day. Until next time. Make sure you like and subscribe and tell all your friends about us, you know? Later on. Bye-bye. See ya. Bye. Bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. Check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
It'd be interesting to see where Max Crepeau ends up as well, right?
I was
going
to say
Minnesota?
Oh, imagine.
Yeah,
we need a Canadian.
Yeah, whoever was last time.
It's true.